We hunt, so to speak, for real love, right? We don't want some fake, we want the real thing. But what is real love anyways? Last week I talked about the word awesome. Well, you could say the same thing about love, right? A boy can say he loves his girlfriend, "I love you, dear," and then 6 months later, get in a big squabble and fight and say, "I hate you," and the relationship is dead. What gives? Leading to more disappointment and disillusionment. So where do you find true love? Love, of course, is one of the greatest themes of the human life. So, you know, if you're into poetry, a lot of it's about love, right? Romantic novels are written, tons of novels of that nature. We sing about it. In fact, this last couple of weeks, I've been going down memory lane, and on Spotify, I've been looking up tunes from the 70s and 80s that I used to listen to, and they're familiar tunes, and I realized that nothing has really changed. Listen to these song titles. "Love Will Find a Way." "Love Will Keep Us Together." "He Don't Love You Like I Love You." Is that grammatically correct? I don't know. Song title. We long for love, right? We sing about love. We listen to love songs because it's just such a dominant theme in the human life. People long for love. But I ask the question, where do you find love? Where do you find authentic love, right? So to answer the question, I want to encourage you to turn to your Bibles to 1 John 4, 7 to 12. So let me read it to you. I have it up there as well. So really, we're really tracking into 1 John, Calvin? Boy, we're just on this. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Now, if I would have read to the end of the chapter 4, the word love, or a variation of the word love, would occur no less than 27 times in this passage, over and over again. So there is no mistake, you're not going to miss it, what the dominant theme is. John wants to talk about love. Now, John covers different aspects of love in his letter, 1 John. But here in 1 John chapter 4, this is actually John's longest talk on love, the passage I just read. I didn't read all of it, but if you read to the end of the chapter, it's his longest teaching on love. He takes us to the very deepest reason why we should love. We love because it originates with God. Love originates with God. So in other words, the love that he is talking about is no knockoff. You trace it all the way back to God himself. It isn't shining emeralds look to be the original emeralds. It isn't the fickle love of romance sometimes. "Dear friends, Let us love one another, for love comes from God. The kind of love that John is talking about is original love. And we like original things, and so we want to go back and trace back to the original, right? The original, where it all began, the source of it. A few summers ago, we were traveling through the Kelowna area, and Cheryl and I decided that we want to take a look at the original Ikenoe family farmhouse that my grandpa built. And it's actually in Rutland, outside of Kelowna. And so we got there, and I was excited to find the original house. I recognize it, although it was in quite, you know, disrepair. And the whole property is sold now. It's no longer a fruit orchard that my grandpa ran and my uncle. It sits in a vineyard. But I just wanted to see the house, no matter what shape it was in, because it was the house that grandpa built. The house where the family got established as immigrants from Japan. That's where it all began, right? That's where they raised their family. That's where they grew the Ikenoe home. And where they met the Lord. All kinds of wonderful historic things happened in this place, right? So you go back to this original spot, and it's meaningful. So the history of original love, when you trace it back, you trace it all the way back to God Himself. We won't understand love if we don't understand where it comes from. Authentic love originates with God Himself. God is the source. He is the wellspring of love. 1 John 4:8, and then verse 16 says this, God is love. It seems to get even deeper. In other words, the very nature of God Himself is love. If love originates with God, it isn't a characteristic that you can somehow manufacture by yourself, because its origin is a divine origin. We can try to manufacture it by ourselves, but we tend to produce cheap imitations. When John speaks to us about loving one another, he's talking about a love that must come to us from the divine source. Then he takes us a little deeper. God's love comes to us by being born again. Verse 7 continues to say, everyone who has been born of God and knows God, whoever does not know God, because God is love. Now, this born-again language, of course, was first, we heard this in John chapter 3. So John's the same author. He wrote the Gospel of John. And, of course, we learned this about the story of Nicodemus. And Jesus taught Nicodemus that the only way into the kingdom of God is to be born again, right? We know that story. And of course, we understand that he didn't mean physical rebirth. Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth that one experiences when they receive the Spirit of God. And so having been spiritually reborn, where God gives us a new heart, and then God enables us to love through God's love. And so those who reflect this original love in us and through our lives, we are actually giving evidence that we are born again and know God. So again, the love that John talks about has a divine origin. And God made it possible for us to receive this original love in His grace by being born again by the Spirit. So this means that something supernatural has taken place in our hearts. Now the prophets talked about this happening. Ezekiel 36:26 says this, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So this heart of flesh is this free gift of God. When anyone by faith puts their faith in Jesus Christ and surrenders their life, their old life to God, God says, I promise you, I will give you a brand new heart. Ezekiel's language is the heart of flesh. The Holy Spirit in your life. And in this way, in his loving, gracious way, God says, I can produce in you my love. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's just this gracious, wonderful gift. I can give in you the most precious, original love you can ever find on the face of the earth coming down from heaven, all through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, John also says the reverse is true. If God's original love is not happening in your life, and we don't love, then they can't possibly know God. Because if they knew God, they would know that the very heartbeat of God is to love. You know, many people claim to have a version of version. It's Christmas time, so I gotta say a different word. Of spirituality. Whether it's inside the church or outside the church. But John is saying, if you are not loving, then you don't have the slightest understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. Because God is love. So having been born of God, moved by the Spirit of God, Christians are those who have received and responded to God's love and in humility repented of their sin and are giving their entire lives over to the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in this way, God's original love begins to trickle into your hearts so that our love for those around us grows with God's love. So I guess I want to ask a question. Are you born again of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit by surrendering your life to Jesus? Think about that. John also shows us how God showed his love to us. God revealed his love to us by sending Jesus. So he's actually kind of going back here, saying, well, this is how you're able to be born again. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Purpose statement. Okay? This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let me tell you, this is a loaded verse, so I'm going to try my best here. Now, John in his letter has stressed that Jesus, the King, the Messiah, has come in the flesh. This means God has revealed himself to the world, to us, by becoming a human being. Born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is more than some meaningless doctrine that you have to learn to pass a test. Our Christian faith grows directly out of this important belief that Jesus the Messiah, the one true God, has revealed himself to be love incarnate. Love incarnate. In other words, God has come to us in the person, into the human being of Jesus, although he is the God-human, the God-man. So, John is saying Jesus is no fake emerald pretending to be God. Because that's what some people said. He only looks to be. But no, he's not really God. John says, no, no, no. He is the original emerald. He is God in human flesh. And he's not pretending to love. He is the source of love. Jesus in human flesh is God himself. The origin of love has come to us. It's breaking news. How did God express his love? Well, John says, verse 10, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John begins by saying that love is not to be understood in terms of our love for God. Not at all. That would be starting out on the wrong foot. Rather, true love is to be understood in terms of God's love for us. He took the initiative. But there is more. Second part of verse 10. That he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, earlier, John said in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So God did not peek through the clouds of heaven and say in a Morgan Freeman voice, I love you, and then disappear into the clouds again. He did not love remotely. He doesn't love remotely. He showed his love for us by becoming one of us, and then by becoming the atoning sacrifice for our sins. What is the atoning sacrifice? Well, John is referring to the historic death of Jesus on the cross. By dying, Jesus forgave our sins. The word atone relates to the removal of guilt because of our sins. When Jesus came, gave his life in death, it was this sacrificial act of love to remove the guilt we had incurred because of our sins. And in his death, he cleared the way so that we might live through him. You know, a lot of love that we hear about is what I call fluffy love. But the kind of love that we see in Jesus is sacrificial love. It's costly love. In a short devotional piece I was reading by Hannah King, she reminds us that during the Christmas season, we tend to sentimentalize the incarnation. We imagine sweet baby Jesus born to the Virgin Mary in swaddling clothes. Isaiah says he's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, etc. And so he is. All of that's true. But if you continue to read Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, our understanding of Jesus' incarnate life was this. Jesus was born to suffer and die so that we might live through him. So indeed, Jesus is the exalted king. But always remember, he was rejected and he was despised. And he was tortured, and he was then murdered. Jesus himself is the God-man, experienced suffering and evil of our sin. Jesus experienced the most painful and dark aspects of the sinful human experience. And so Jesus knows what it feels like to be brutalized and to be humiliated, to be oppressed and to be abandoned. You know, during the Christmas season, many people actually experience the opposite of what we sing about. They experience not hope, but hopelessness. Not love, but lovelessness. Not peace, but disruption. Not joy, but depression. But on that cross, Jesus identifies with all of those things. The worst forms of all human suffering and loneliness. This was a costly sacrificial love. There is no human tragedy that Jesus does not understand or identify with. Jesus' love was costly sacrificial love. But let us also understand that in this sacrificial love, Jesus' love was profoundly redemptive love. After Jesus suffered, he died for us. He died thinking about you and me. He removed the guilt of sin, paving the way so that we could live our lives through him. Because, of course, our way doesn't get anywhere. As you gaze upon baby Jesus this Christmas in the manger, don't forget about the brutality of the cross. Your salvation, your redemption from sin and evil and Satan cost Jesus his very own life. And every scar and every brutal lash and finally the death of Jesus is the deepest expression of God's original love for the world. But it was redemptive love. It paved the way for us to live our lives through him. And by humble faith in the death of Jesus Christ, we can live our life through him. Now, as John wraps up his talk on God's profound love, like any good talk, he turns to us. So listen again. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Now that we understand where original love is found and what it looks like, we are urged to love in the same way. Love one another. Love with the original love of God. Love with the kind of love that God showed to you in Jesus. God came to complete his original love in us. And the clear evidence of this love is shown by our love for one another. So, you know, I think it's safe to say, let's just say our love quotient for each other has room to grow. I don't think there's any argument there, right? So let me just kind of leave you three take-homes to think about and pray about. First of all, keep receiving God's original love into your heart and mind. True original love comes from heaven in the person of Jesus. So the wonderful, incredible gospel story is this: God's original love is freely available to anyone who received Jesus into their life. I mean, that's just incredible, right? Not only this, after you put your faith in Jesus, your love can grow and continue to grow and percolate in you as you rely on God's love for us. That came directly to 1 John 4:16. It says this: and so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. You need his love to love. And it's with this God's original love that we love one another. And of course, John is the author who speaks much about the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, same chapter. He has given us his Spirit. And so even in Ephesians, as we ended, it ended hugely about being Spirit-filled, right? And we worship the Lord in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We meditate on the Word of God through the Spirit. It all must involve God in us, relying on Him in us. And so just as clean, pure water, when you pour it into your body, and of course when you're like super, super, you know, thirsty, you almost feel it filling you up and invigorating your body. In the same way, God's love refreshes the soul, filling you up with more of God and His love and His unfailing love. And when you do this, God gives you a new level of confidence to love unselfishly and sacrificially, because, of course, you and I know that loving is often very hard. And sometimes it does cost you dearly, just as it cost Jesus dearly. Secondly, go and love somebody. Pretty basic, right? Go and love somebody with God's love. Put it into practice. Say a good word of encouragement. Tell someone how much you appreciate them. Take the time to notice that the good that people do around you. Use words, but of course, love by action. Volunteer in your church. Give sacrificially to bless someone. Don't just love those who are in your comfort circle. If that's any credit to you, it's not. Love those who you may not normally hang out with. All you have to do is read the Gospels and you'll discover that in the life of Jesus, Jesus went to those who many people would never hang out with. Well, he's trying to model something for us, isn't he? Let us love as he did. And finally, pray to grow deeper in God's love. This is probably the same as receiving God's original love, but prayer is the practice. Prayer is the practice. So let me read. You heard this in Ephesians. This is his famous prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. And I pray, Paul says, that you may be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's people, holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. There's a wonderful depth and width to God's love that we need to tap into. So let's end the way the passage began. Dear friends, love one another, for love comes from God. He is the original. He's the real deal. Let's go to Him and love one another. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I pray that we would come in humility and acknowledge that we need you, Lord, to love. We don't have it in ourselves. And when we do love, it's because of you. And so help us, Lord, to love you, to receive your love, and to love sacrificially. Not just this season of the year, but 12 months of the year, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, for showing us the way of original love. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Dan. I'd like to invite you to stand as we close in song.